Well, without further ado, we've been eagerly anticipating this morning. Our speaker this morning is a man that I met in the car park for the first time about a year and a half, or about nearly 2 years ago.
1 year.
1 year ago. His mic on. Turn his mic off.
I've got it on. Oh.
And a lot of you people know Wayne Mannone. Come up, Wayne. I just want a little brief introduction. He's married to Linda. He's got two beautiful girls. And I just want to... He takes on the men's ministry here along with a couple of other guys. But he's just been a real inspiration and a breath of fresh air. He comes in the morning and prays every morning when he can. Not every morning, but when, most mornings.
I think they've turned me off. Oh, no, I'm back on.
He works for elders.
Yeah, turn me on.
He's been an elder at Meriden Church of Christ. He's been a lay preacher and a lay pastor up there as well. He's a professional auctioneer, so get your ears ready. He's going to speak really fast. Just give him a warm welcome and love you, man.
Thanks, man. Good on you. Yeah, it was November last year, mate. Year before, 16, so... Hasn't been that long. We've been at the church since the 26th of January last year, so thought I'd fly under the radar for the first 12 months, but didn't quite make it by 2 weeks, but that's all good. I don't like those spotlights. Can they be turned off or not? Are they got to be on? They're on. Okay. All good. Just quickly while I get set up, just turn to the person next to you, give them a high five, say Jesus loves you. Turn to the person on your right and say, I don't know, you're fearfully and wonderfully made. It's all good. Can you hear me all right? All good. I just want to pick up on something Craig said, and I'm going to hold you to this. You said it was an easy crowd, didn't you, early on? Anyone hear him say that? Yep. Last crowd I was in front of when a few guys were here at Margaret Court's, so I did an auction for them at one of the golf clubs. A couple hundred people, and the crowd was terrible. It was not an easy crowd at all. So I'm just going to hold you to your word. This better be an easy crowd today. So thanks to the worship team, everything that's happened this morning, even the prophetic utterance that came from Janice. Where are you, Janice? It's prophetic stuff that's come forward this morning. Everything that's happening, God's just trying to mould it all together, hence the potter's hand. It's been very good in the last week or so to see Kerry squirm a little bit. He kept asking me, what are you going to preach about? I said, well, I don't know. I mean, I could preach about lots of things, but I need to know what God wants to talk about. But I finally gave him a title during the week, so I think he was a bit happier, and he's still a little bit squirmy down the front. And he has picked on me a little bit since I've been here from the pulpit, especially after the Shalom camp where I was fairly emotional. He picked on me for that. He said last week about salesmen being manipulative and conniving, or words to that effect, and poked me out, so... You know, what is it, by the measure we judge, we will be judged, or something like that? But it's just, we've enjoyed our time here. It's been a tough year, as most of you, a lot of people I know have had a tough year. Amen? Now, today, you've got to be a bit more interactive than that. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. That's the way. It's a bit like I was going to get up and do another tithe call, because you all seem to get excited with that. But it has been a tough year for a lot of people. Is there anyone out here visiting? Any visitors? First time at Hillside? I'll put you in there real quick. First time. I know there's one up the back, another one there that's getting pointed to. Okay, anyone's fairly new or hasn't been here much? Oh, there you go. Welcome. Welcome to Hillside, Tanisha. I went back and listened to a few of the sermons that we've heard here in that 12 months, and that was quite enlightening, so it was very good. So I'd encourage you to do that. Quite often we hear a word, we go home, we forget about it. So I encourage you to write stuff down and encourage you to have a Bible, a paper-based Bible. We can get slack and just look at it up there on our phones or whatever and not mark things in and have pointers and markers in our life. Encourage you to do that as well. One of the things was Vision Sunday from last year that Kerry got up and cast the vision. It was the 12th of February. And you might think, well, how much of that came to pass? But he spoke about harvesting and the harvest that's to come. The year of harvest. And you think, well, you know, how did that go? But I reckon I'm here this morning to tell you that when you're going to harvest, there's preparation. Amen? Yes. So, and it's pity Bill and Monique aren't here, Crabtree. They're in America somewhere listening via live satellite. Hello to them. But any farmer, anyone that knows, if you're going to do a harvest, there's a lot of preparation. So I believe 2017 was a preparation year for us, and there's still preparation. They never stop preparing, and there's breakdowns along the way and things like that. So I want to hold to that word, and I want to believe for that word, and I want to speak life into that word in Jesus' name. Amen. Had a great week last week with some testimony. I don't know if they're both here today, but I know Britt's is, but I don't know if Karen's here. It was just wonderful, and there's some stuff I want to share with her, but she's not here, so that's okay. Has anyone invited anyone to church lately? Good. It's good. I did on Friday morning. We finished in the prayer room, and I went out and saw a lady walking through, I presume from the retirement village, and, how you going? I'm Wayne. I'm invited to church, but she's been coming for 6 years, so... That's all right. That's good. Where's Sylvia? Where are you, Sylvia? There she is. I said I'd give a shout out to Sylvia. So I met a new sister in Christ, and it was funny with the men's night when we started doing that, and I was so excited, and I'd shake hands every bloke that come in. How you going? I'm Wayne, and where you from? And I've been going here 20 years, But anyway, that's okay. It's all good. We've done the high five bit. That's all good. Talked about too. I just want to pray if we can. Is that all right if I open in prayer this morning? Good to see the Mandra girls got here too. Okay, this morning? I've been out evangelising, I'm sure, in Mandra. Got up early. Got here on time. I hope it's worth it. I hope the best is yet to come today. So, Lord, we just thank you and praise you in the mighty name of Jesus, the mighty name of your Son, our Lord, our Saviour. And, Lord, I pray for anyone in this place that doesn't know him yet, that after today and into the days coming, that they would come to know you better. And Lord, I pray we as a church, we as individuals would come to know you better. Lord, and as I needed a kicker for this sermon, that's it. That's simple. So I'm giving them the end before we start that we need to know you better. So Lord, we just thank you and praise you. I just pray that your word comes forth, Lord. Anything of me, I pray falls to the ground. I pray that again. Anything of me, I pray falls to the ground. Anything of you, Lord, I pray that lodges in our heart, lodges in our spirit, and like that seed, produces fruit 100-fold. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Okay, the potter's wheel. You like that? It's all good. Got the hillside label, so we're all kosher, so it's all good. The potter's hand. What is the will of God? Can't see these guys out here that well. I've found generally young adults, generally young people, generally in the middle, and generally more senior folk, generally in the church. So I might sort of go from side to side. I won't say old, I'll say mature. What is the will of God? On earth as in heaven. Now, we're going to have a million different answers, and I would reckon that most of them would be right, I'd suggest. But I'm trying to encapture this into one statement or one scripture. What does God want? So what is his will? And if we could go to the first scripture, and we know that in all things God works for good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. Lance's favourite scripture there. For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son. There's a whole lot of that word, conformed. I believe the will of God, which encompasses all of these things you would say and think, and come to me later if you think there's something outside of that, please, that he wants us to be conformed to the image of his Son. Fair call? So it's up or down. If it's down, you tell me, all right? I need you to help me. Need some help along the way. And the word conformed in the Greek or the Hebrew, or I just looked it up and found it, sunmorphos or symmorphos. Sun means to be with or together, and morph means to act in accordance or harmony with attitudes and practices, to become similar in form, nature and character or character, to be in harmony or accord. And the Hebrew sort of talks more about to be the outside, to be at sort of peace with the inner essence. And it's probably a better description, as Hebrew generally is. You look up Hebrew and there's a whole dictionary of things behind the word. There's a lot to it. Such a rich language. So you get the picture there. But it's like the outside in, God's way to conform us. Hence the potter's wheel. Now, straight up you'll be thinking, well, we don't want to conform. And yes, we don't want to conform to the image of the world. We don't want to conform to rules and regulation. Because what's that called? What's rules and regulation called in Christendom? Religion, a few different answers. Religion. We don't want religion, do we? And it's a great evangelistic tool. If you're talking to people and you're telling them the difference between Christianity and religion, I get so many people, oh, you're religious. No, I hate religion. Hate it. It gets a response. So just learn some spiel around that, and it's a great evangelistic tool at work, in the workplace, footy club, wherever you happen to hang out. So I'm not talking about being conformed to rules and regulations. Do we get that? It's outside in, but it's God's way. It's outside in. Now, what's our part? So if that's God's will, if his will is for us to be conformed to the image of his son, and I want to introduce or reintroduce an idea of co-labouring or co-working with God. And some of you know that, you would have heard messages about co-labouring with God, you know, like getting in step with the Spirit, getting in step with what God's trying to do. So if we could have the next scripture up, it's a little bit lengthier, but I'll just read through that. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, and we know this is Romans 12, 1 to 2, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing and perfect will. Again, I made it easy. I've highlighted the key word, transformed. Now, transformed, again, in the Greek, it's the metamorpho or morpho, however you want to pronounce it. Can't pronounce it in Hebrew. It's to change the form or nature of a thing, so similar to what we've said, into a completely different entity, a completely different one. That's where we get the word metamorphosis. You would have heard messages about grubs becoming butterflies, that they totally change into a totally different entity. That's the word metamorphosis. That's the word transformed. 2 Corinthians 3:18 tells us that we're being transformed into the image, into his image, from glory to glory. So it's like inside out. So as I said, with confirmation, it's outside in. Transformation, it's inside out. You see the difference? Like that butterfly. And we've got to co-labour with God. How do we co-labour? We've got to be a living sacrifice, as it says in Romans 12 there. Offer your bodies as a living sacrifice. And that's all of us, heart, mind, soul, spirit, every part that we are. We offer to God. We surrender all. And quite often we've opened the front, people come and surrender all. And we do that, and I've done it a million times for a few days or even a few weeks. Because we sing that song, I surrender all, but we sing I surrender some. And when you sing it like that, it sounds pretty silly. I surrender all. So how do we allow ourselves to be transformed? We surrender all. Galatians 5, wonderful chapter, talks about living by the Spirit, living in step with the Spirit. And if we do that, we've got to be dead to ourselves to walk in the Spirit, to live and get in step with the Spirit. And as you work further through that chapter, it goes into the fruit of the Spirit. So as we allow ourselves to be conformed, as we allow those things to transform us, as we surrender, we notice this fruit starts to take root. Well, the tree takes root and the fruit starts to come. So we know people by their fruit. Jesus spoke about that. So we meet someone that's just full of peace, love, joy, patience. They've been walking with Jesus. They're starting to know Jesus. They're being transformed by Jesus. And we go in and out of these things. I certainly have. Just ask my wife and my kids, because they're the ones that truly know me. Grumpy, horrible, angry, all sorts of things. Not all the time. And Craig did an eye test a couple of weeks ago. But I hope today is the start of this season, as we start the first message going into this new season, that it's an annual checkup for us to see what sort of fruit we are producing and what we've produced and what's that look like. A lot of mine in 2017 was quite off, and I know others might be the same. So dead but yet alive, dead to ourselves, alive to his self. He conforms us to transform us. Now, a lot of things in the kingdom are a bit strange, they're a bit backwards, you know. We've got to be in this place, we've got to die to live, if you like. We've got to be a living sacrifice. The sacrifices are things that are dead. But that's how the kingdom works. You know, he will be first, will be last. If you give, you receive. God's kingdom's different to earthly kingdom. Amen. We're still all right? We're going okay? All right. I wanted to bring some good news today. I don't know if this is going to be good news or not, but it's from the Lord, I believe. I was in Coles the other day and I saw a sister down here, and I'd had a bit of not a revelation, epiphany, that as I'm thinking of this word transformation, and it's just all starting to sink in, and then I realised what's up here normally. Where's it gone? And what does it say, Kerry?
Committed to transformation.
Committed to transformation. And that's like that. I don't say the mantra is the wrong word in church, but the guts or the mission or the purpose of this church, committed to transformation. It's like, I happen to be in the apple cider vinegar section, so I don't know if that means anything, Ben, if there's a prophetic thing in there or not. But God's talking to us, church, today. He wants us to be conformed. He wants us to be transformed. And he's trying to do a lot of work in us. Amen? So how do we get transformed? A lot of preachers, we can stand up here and say this, that and the other. And I've walked out many times, not from this church, of course, and thought, well, that's great. How? You know, how do we get transformed? And again, I think it boils down to one thing today. And this is the key message. I've already said, know him. We've got to know him. We've got to know him. Because we can't conform to something we don't know. We can't be transformed into something that we're not aware of. We've got to know him. I saw some L plates on a car out the back as I came in. I think they're Darcy's up the back. Darcy's got to learn to drive. He's got to know. He's got to get the feel. He's got to get in that place. It's no different. I wrote something down in the house here, but I haven't got my glasses. I can't see. It was a good point too. Doesn't matter. Obviously not meant to be. But we've got to be transformed by getting to know him. Because we can't have faith beyond our knowledge. Does that make sense? So if we, you know, we know certain things. I'm going to do this. Oh, I wasn't going to. I've got a $50 note here, right? Am I allowed to walk around? That's all good. Don't want to run down the back because all the people at the back never get involved. And I'm going to give it to this bloke down here on the end, say. How are you, sir? Good. There you go. There's $50. Now, most of you are worried, is he going to get it back? I don't know if I'm going to get it back. It doesn't matter. That's not the point. We're all good? Now, I've given that guy $50. How are you anyway? Welcome to Hillside. We all hope he's going to come again? Yeah. Make him feel welcome. We're not going to pay every visitor $50. But I don't know if I'm going to get that back. Because I don't necessarily... If I don't know him, I don't know if I'm going to get it back or not. Amen? So we invest, but we've got to know him to know that it's the right way to go. And we can't have faith beyond our knowledge. Does it make sense? But the more we get to know him, the more we get in his word, we get in fellowship, we hear wonderful messages from the front, we start to get to know him more, we can what? Trust him more. And that's what builds our faith. The church doesn't have a faith problem. We've all prayed it many times. Increase my faith, lift my faith. It's not a faith problem, it's a knowing problem. We've got to know him more. And that's one way we get to know him. Because that's Jesus. He's the word. That's one way we get to know him. We can't have faith beyond our knowledge. I'll come and see you later, mate. Maybe you can buy us all lunch, or a couple of us. So it's not a faith problem. That's something. That's a kicker today I think God wants us to know. So all those who've got a pen and paper, write that down. And Paul prayed in Ephesians, one of my favourite books of the Bible, Ephesians, and he prayed that, you know, that you would open the eyes of our heart, that you would give us a spirit of wisdom and revelation. Why? So that we may know him better. Spirit of wisdom and revelation would sit on us so that we'd know him better and know the hope that we're called to, know the riches and glorious inheritance in the saints. That's us, if you believe. And right in chapter 3, it talks a bit more about knowing the breadth and depth and length of the love of God. And we experience the love of God, it changes us. It's part of that transformation. It's just like osmosis. Make sense? And it's about knowing the truth that sets you free. It's the knowledge of the truth that sets us free, not the truth in itself. I know that that's refreshing. Until I know it, until I drink it, doesn't mean anything. It's just a truth. Because even demons believe and tremble. How many of us tremble before the Lord in our sin, in our ways, in our unforgiveness, our bitterness, our hurt? It's all sin. Okay. So what on earth has this got to do with pottery? I'm glad you asked. We'll go to the next scriptures. I'll try and move it along a bit. I don't know what time I started, so I was going to try and keep an track on time. Yet you, Lord, you are our Father. We are the clay, you are the potter. We're the work of your hand, Isaiah 64:8. Second one's a bit lengthy. It's the bottom bit that's the kicker. This is the word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord. Go down to the potter's house and there I'll give you my message. So I went down to the potter's house and I saw him working at the wheel. But the pot he was shaping from the clay was marred in his hands. That's what happens to us sometimes. We get marred in his hands. We get out of sorts. We get tainted by sin. We get tainted by unforgiveness or hurt or whatever it is. But the pot he was shaping from the clay was marred in his hands. So the potter formed it into another pot, shaping it as he seemed best. Sometimes we don't think God's doing the right thing. And if we were God, we'd do something a bit different. Well, thank God we are not God. I speak for myself. So all this message, this is a message to me. Because this is where I've been at. So I'm just sharing it with you. Okay? Don't think I've got all this together. Or you'll be sadly let down. Then the word of the Lord came to me. He said, can I not do with you, Israel, as this potter does, declares the Lord. Like clay in the hand of the potter, so are you in my hand, Israel. Now you might say, oh, that was Israel, but it's not. This is because this revelation or this truth is for individual and it's for corporate. Amen. We are part of the body. If you're talking to the church, he's talking to you, he's talking to me, he's talking to us collectively. Okay? So just bear that in mind as we go through. This is for the church, it's for you individually, it's for me. Make sense? Now, we've all heard that, and I didn't realise that the pottery wheel sermon was a thing. I said to the boys last week, well, it's going to be something about pottery. And they said, oh, the pottery wheel sermon. I said, is that a thing? I guarantee it won't be the same as any other message. I would hope not anyway. So I would hope not. So thanks for that encouragement, guys. They were going to get in. They had someone they knew had a pottery wheel. Craig was going to just be gently sculpting a pot on the wheel. And then we're going to play some music and Kerry was going to just come up in a big white suit and come around him like that movie Ghost. And but I didn't get it organised. So I'm just gutted. So maybe there's a time for that, maybe. It's mindful of time. Okay, I'm just going to run you through a quick, brief thing on clay. Yeah, that's it. Give me a little rub. Is there any potters in the room? Because I got this about 90% right, I think. There's probably a few little things I missed. It's amazing what you can learn on Google in an afternoon. Amazing. Clay. The first form of clay is slip. And I might get into my auctioneer thing a bit quicker here now. The first form of clay, if you like, is slip. That's the mud and water. And it's just that slippy sort of stuff. Bear in mind, Genesis 2, what were we? Raised up from the dust. I don't know if he knelt down and breathed life into us. I think some translations say that. That's why the devil hates us, because we were kneeled down and breathed life into. Regardless of that, he breathed life into us. We were that dust, and he knows in our sin and our failings that we are but dust. That's the first form. The second form is wet mud, just as you'd buy in a pottery shop, I guess. I'm not sure, craft shop. You just buy those blocks of mud. Some of you would have done that at school, in art or whatever. I did 3 years of art. I can't draw a dog. I don't know why they didn't kick me out. I really don't. We had a go at pottery, but that's just standard clay, and that's us. That's unsaved and saved. There's people in this room I know haven't made Jesus their Lord and Saviour. Hopefully there'll be an opportunity later to do that. But that's us. Even all the people we see in Forest Field or Wattle Grove, wherever we live, they're just that bit of clay. God's trying to mould everyone. He's trying to work on everyone we meet. Every person, every grumpy, angry, horrible, yucky person we meet, he's trying to work in them. And as we find out through testimony, why people act like they act. You know, why someone's got tattoos or why someone's got this. And I've judged people for that. That's why I want to see Karen. I see tattoos and think, well, but they're battle scars of the past. Anyway, so that'll be quick. So the first process is wedging and kneading. And I'd love to have had some clay and stuff, but that's okay. Use your imagination. Those that are still awake. We're still awake? Yeah. Clap your hands. Very good. Thank you very much. At least I got one clap today. You've got to create these things sometimes. But wedging and kneading the clay. And it's a bit like the dough for making pizza bases. Got to wedge it, got to knead it. And it's moulding and shaping and preparation for the wheel, to go on the wheel. That's good that that's round, that's the wheel. Now, I had I won't call it a vision, but it probably was, but a picture at Victory Life. We went after the conference, we went to some Saturday morning upper room prayer things they were doing, and God just imparted this thing. Now, I wanted to sort of share it, but everyone else was sharing, so I left it, and he's just ruminated this message over time. But I saw that the wheel is life, and it's the will of God. And as you can see, the closer we get into the centre, the better we are. We'll get to that. I'm stealing my own thunder. So we're being prepared for the wheel. And those that aren't Christians yet, or they're marginal, they're being prepared to get on that wheel, to get on the will of God and get to the centre as quickly as possible. It's not about fast tracking. It's not about jumping hurdles or having a back route. It's about getting there in the right way. And part of this process mainly is to get the air out, because air is very problematic in clay. You've got to get the air out. Okay, now the air is sin. In us, if I'm making an analogy, sin, self, things that are surplus to requirement in us. Three S's. Could say a few other words, but I won't. We're full of a lot of S's, aren't we, John? And some of us more than others. But he's trying to get it out. He's just, it's just a process. It's just a process. He's trying to get it out. We can help him. We can co-labor. We can get it out. Oh, it's ready. Makes this clay soft and more malleable. And if we've got a soft heart, we're more malleable for God. Amen? We've got a soft heart. The Israelites, when they, you know, they're accused of being stiff-necked or hard of heart, he can't do anything with them. He's got to take them around the mountain again, or they've got to go into battle and lose family members and go down until they soften and come back, return to the Lord. And some of us today, we've just got to return to the Lord. Return to me, I'll return to you. Remain in me, I'll remain in you. That's it. It's pretty simple. And this is done so it can respond to pressure. So the clay that can respond to pressure, it makes it stronger. And the more we let him mould us, the stronger we get. The more we can stand up under the storm. The more we make our, it's been said this morning, make our home on the rock. The more we can stand in the storms. Because, ladies and gentlemen, the storms will come. They came in 2017. There'll be more in 2018. I'm not preaching doom. I'm just preaching truth. Jesus said it. But if we make our house on that rock, deep foundations, it's all good. Makes us stronger. So when the storms come, we can hold up under it. Amen? 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 Amen. Woo! I was told I wasn't allowed to shout today. But all this is done in love too. I've just got to, there was halfway through the night, just bring some love. This is love. God loves us enough to mould us and take time. If we get marred, he's just happy to put us back in again, rework us. He's patient. He's loving. He loves you. He created you. He wants relationship with you. He wants you to know him. He loves you. He even loves me. And what this process does also, it aligns the particles, the molecules, into a circular motion. If you watch, just Google it, you'll become an expert like me. By the time they do that, a number of times, it's this thing happens. The particles, the molecules, they circle, and it's easy to shape and align. Again, it's that confirmation thing. If we let him mould us and shape us, it's easier for him to align us into what he wants us to be, not what we want to be. And it makes the clay homogeneous. I got sick of the word homogeneous last year, or words to that effect. But it makes the moisture more consistent, homogeneous. I'm just messing with you. Some of you got it. It makes the moisture more consistent, okay? So that you haven't got a dry bit here and a wet bit there. You know, this sand isn't dry and this sand isn't wet, and it's all homogeneous. It's a good word. And this usually all takes about 75 to 100 motions. And then the clay's ready for the wheel. And that's why I say I have this victory life picture that this is the wheel, and that God's just wanting to put us on it. And this is first process, a centering process to get centered. If we don't, it's life gets out of whack, doesn't it? If you've ever done pottery and you've put a pot on there and you turn it on and it's off center, it goes flying. Sometimes that's what we feel, our life's done, gone flying. Some of you are sitting here today feeling like your life's flowing off the wheel, that you're not even on the wheel or not even in the wheel of God. Just allow him to grab you and reshape you. Get on the wheel. Co-labor with him. Get to know him better. Spend some time with him. It's how we get to know people. So this process gets us ready for the wheel, the centering process. And if you don't wedge the clay properly, you can't get the clay centered. Gets off center too easily. If you want a quick testimony or a quick biblical example of someone getting out of the will of God, a man after God's own heart was David. When he fell with Bathsheba, where was he meant to be? He wasn't in the will of God. He should have been right there. That's David. He should have been right there. Where was he? He was probably out here somewhere. Because where are all the other kings? What time of war was it? Oh, sorry, what time of year was it? Wartime. Time for kings to go to war. Should he have been at home or should he have been at war? And we're not promoting war, but you know the story. He should have been on the front line. And quite often, ladies and gentlemen, the front line is the safest place to be on. Safest place to be sometimes is the front line. If that's the will of God, safe place to be. very unsafe if we're outside the will of God. We're not in the front line. We're out on the roof just sipping champagne or whatever we're doing. And his gaze fell upon Bathsheba. But he's a man after God's own heart. So take heart. I take a lot of heart in that story. It doesn't excuse our sin, but I tell you what, if you've fallen, you've done something wrong, happened to the best of them. But don't use that as a justification. Amen? And look, we've all been through... I won't go into that. That's okay. Okay, part B of that is that the clay gets pushed down 3 or 4 times just to get it centred and help out, rose up, pushes it down, squashes it. Sometimes people are getting squashed. And along all this process, there's a lot of water. A lot of water. The potter's continually putting his hand in the water, just putting a hand in the water. You know, that represents water. We know in Scripture represents the Word of God. So we can co-labor because he's poured his Word out. We asked for God to do this and do that and pour out, and he's done it. He's poured it out. There it is. That's his Word. It's been poured out. Now we're washed clean by the washing of the Word. There's other scriptures. If I was clever, I'd be able to quote straight up. It talks about wives and things, washed like the church, washing in the Word, made it clean. He said that to the disciples. You're washed or you're clean by the Word you've heard. He's poured it out. We've got to soak it up. Okay? We've got to soak it up. We've got to soak up his Word because he's pouring it out. And that's what clay people do, constantly putting water on it at that stage. And then there's the opening up process. They open it up. It's a very delicate process. Open it up. Bring it up. Bring up the rolls. If we're building something like that, just like he's doing there, just raise it up. You've got to create a floor in it so it's a solid foundation. Again, we've got to build our life on Christ, make a solid foundation. Have I got it all together? No. Have I been there sometimes? Yep. Do we up and down? Yep. But that's what we've got to be heading towards. And it's amazing when you start to prepare for a message, you start getting in the Word like never before because you've got to have credibility, to speak to a crowd. It's amazing the change that happens in here in the last 2 or 3 weeks. It may not be evident to all yet, but it's evident to me. I've had a softening. And then he pulls the walls up. As I said, it's a delicate process. God loves you. He doesn't want to break you. He doesn't want you to flip off. And, sometimes you pull it too tight and the whole thing's messed. He's not like that. He's a master craftsman. And he shapes. So he's pulled the walls up and then he shapes it. He's shaping it there. Because we are mastery. We're made in the image of God. We are wonderfully and beautifully made. Fearfully and wonderfully made. Amen? How many of you know that? How many forget that from time to time? We are fearfully and wonderfully made. Where's Lizzie? There she is. Where's Lizzie? Is she here or not? She's out there. Oh, there they are. Your son is fearfully and wonderfully made. And you know this. There's no mistakes there. And I just love what you're doing with the Down Syndrome Foundation, all that work you're doing, being on TV. I love it. And the moment you said words to the effect of, are we in danger of extincting or getting rid of a whole people group? Remember saying that? Wow, that's powerful. That's reality. This fella, have a look at him. He's just full of joy. That's my daughter, Isaiah. A bit old for you. Look at this. On cue. Hey, Isaiah. Fist bump. Oh, well, Kerry did it. You the man. Woo! Hand for Isaiah. He ain't no mistake. He's God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works that has been prepared for him before the beginning of time. Leave him there. He's all right. Everyone will see it. It's like a living testimony. God's good, eh? I did pay him a fair bit to practice that, but not really. So he's putting us into wholesome, good, wonderful, lovely things. He's shaping us, he's growing us, he's filling us with his Spirit. That's part of this process, is being filled with the Spirit. That's another story. I've got 20 sermons to come off this sermon. That's another day, but sorry, Kerry, you'll be right. Maybe next January. I got asked to preach in January and I sort of thought, oh, cool, it's all the B graders get a crack in January. But then I looked at the list and I think he preached and I think we've got Lance next week and we've got Pastor Fred, where are you? He ain't no B-grader either. So maybe only one, but that's all right. But he has plans, it says, to prosper us. And we all want to be prospered financially. But the prosperity I want is to be able to lay hands on the sick and raise the dead and cleanse the lepers, because that's the image I want to be conformed to. All right? We've got to know the image that we've got to be conformed to. So Isaiah 61, he talks about what his purpose was, if you like, and it was fulfilled in their hearing. You know, like, you know, Isaiah, just if I'd quote it off, but it's to set the captives free. It's to lay hands on the sick, all that stuff that's embodied in Christ. And in Acts 10:38 says that Jesus, who was anointed by God, went around doing good, healing all those that came to him and destroying the works of the devil because the Lord was with him. That's what we're working towards. That's what we're being conformed to. We haven't seen it yet, but as Kerry said, the best is yet to come. So the finish of this is that you tidy the rim up a bit and you do a few bits and pieces and then you get a bit of wine, you rip it off the board. You rip it off the wheel. How many feel like you've been ripped off the wheel from time to time? And someone's laughing. It was a nervous laugh. I think that happens. And then it becomes, well, it's still on the wheel. It's leather hard, it's called. That's when you can shape handles and do all that wonderful stuff. And then a process where it's bone dry. It takes a few days to become bone dry. Okay, what? How do you make a bone dry? You rip it off the wheel and it gets put on the shelf for a few days. Gets put on the shelf for a few days. Is it forgotten about? No way. No way. And there's a few here, and I know there's a few here that feel like they've been put on the shelf. Amen? You're not forgotten. You are not forgotten by God. It's part of the process. And it's jolly hard. I'd like to say a few other words, but it's jolly hard when you're on the shelf and you're drying out. But it's part of the process to make you stronger, to make you harder. You're not forgotten. And in this picture, I don't know how God does it, but you have a picture and all of a sudden you just know two or three key things that I had, that he wants to say to some people that that's okay. Sometimes it's best to do nothing, or you're called to just do nothing. I think someone said that this morning. Just rest a while. Come apart with me into a quiet place, Jesus said to his disciples, because they were so busy, didn't even take time to eat. Come aside with me into a quiet place and get some rest. So sometimes, and it's not to excuse doing nothing, but sometimes we just set aside. So use that time to soak in the Word, soak in fellowship, get to know him better. Bask in that time because it's part of the process. Now, then comes the interesting part. It's called trimming. Anyone know what trimming is? Probably not. But the pot is then turned upside down on the wheel. Sound familiar? Getting turned upside down on the wheel. And they put another bracket on and secure it so they can trim the base. Cuts off the rough edges on the base. Sometimes God's got to cut out our rough edges. He's still working on me. And it can slightly change the shape of the vessel and its look. And if it's too dry when he's doing that, they can still add a bit of water. So you can be as dry as you like. You can be bone dry and he can add water and reshape you and just mould you a bit more. Maybe if you think you're old, and I'm not looking over here on any particular reason, maybe you think you're old and you're past it, God's done what he's going to do. Good luck. Because the best is yet to come. Amen? Amen? And if you're scattered out through the crowd, you might have thought you were fully shaped and this is how I'm going to be, this is how it's going to be. No. He can still trim you. Now, I got sent a prophecy that was spoken in this church. I'm not sure when it was exactly. I'd like it to think it was probably 2016 or towards the end. Russell Sage came. And the prophecy went for about a minute, minute and a half, and the prophecy was for you, Kerry. I don't know if you remember that one. But it talked about you being turned upside down, and it talked about you being moulded and shaped, and there was all this good stuff to come, and it included the church that's going to come from him, that's going to come from us, all this good stuff. But you were going to be turned upside down, and there was a process. And I couldn't believe what I was hearing. We were saying God's going to mould you. God's going to shape you. God's going to... And it was just all these pottery terms. Three of them anyway. So I hope that's an encouragement, man, that you've been turned upside down. And I'm sure 2017 was like that for you and for a lot of other people. You got turned upside down. It's still a process. But just rest in that. And I believe God's going to use it for something amazing. I sense it. And we've sensed it here, haven't we? Pam and Kent, the water rising. What's his name, Charlie? One of the old singers used to sing a song, "How high is the water, mama? 3 feet high and rising." Who was that? Johnny Cash. How high is the water? So be encouraged. And be encouraged sometimes in our turning upside down and our reshaping and the things that come against us. Okay, real quick, because I'm running over time, I think. And then the bisque firing comes. That's when we get put in the furnace. If there's still any sign of moisture, you'll explode in the furnace. Okay, that's why it's all going to be come out. It's why we've got to dry out. Atmospheric drying is the first one. It's when all the moisture from the atmosphere comes out. This is in the kiln. It's about 100 degrees. Then dehydration is the next step, where all the chemical combined water comes out. And who knows, sometimes when you're getting pressure, you're getting fired, water comes out of you through here, through your tears. And it might be tears of joy sometimes. Tears of pain, tears of heartache, tears of hurt, tears of whatever. But hear me today, I'm not saying everything that happens is from God, but he will use everything that happens. The enemy wants to come against us. Amen? Enemy came against Job. You read the first part of Job? You know, have you considered your son Job? You know, let me have a crack at him. But in the end of all that, the enemy did all this, did all that, but in the end God said that it was him. But he used all that. So I'm not telling you that if you've got an issue that, we know about spiritual oppression, we know about demonization and all those things. Again, that's another message for another day. We know about all that. There's that factor as well. That's that elephant in the room. That'll do. And then there's burn off, sulfates and carbon burnout. And that's sin and self, still trying to get it out of us. Because self is sin. And the whole problem with God is sin. If you're not saved, the only problem is sin separated us from God. Then the quartz inversion, where quartz crystal rearranges themselves inside the clay, swell up. And then the sintering process, where the particles fuse. And guess what happens to that clay then? Guess what it becomes? It's no longer clay. No matter what you do to that, no matter how much water you put on, even if you crush it down, it's not going to be clay ever again. Because it's had a chemical process. It's no longer true clay. And that happens at about 1,000 degrees. I wonder how hot the furnace was with Daniel and those crew were in there. But it's no longer true clay. Can you get the analogy? We give our heart to Christ. We're born again. We're no longer the same. That's truth. If you've done that. We're no longer the same. Crush this rock, whatever you want to call it, down, put water with it, it's not going to be clay again because there's been a chemical process. So, I'll get to that in a minute. I'm going to steal my own thunder. So that's the metamorphosis. That's a metamorphosis. Right there, it's not clay anymore. And then it goes a bit higher in the vitrification if it wants to be certain type of clay. Then you can glaze fire it, which is a bit lower in temperature again. But then there's another process. It's called cooling down. So when that's in the furnace, it goes up to 1,400, 1,500 degrees. And then it's got to cool slowly. And guess what happens if it doesn't cool slowly? It'll explode because there's still another process. It's cristobalite or it's a silica sand stuff in there. It's just got to slowly, slowly cool down. Otherwise, it explodes. So some of you just cool down. Slow down. Cool down, come apart into a quiet place and get some rest. I love that scripture. I don't know why I say it in an American accent, but it's a little bit, I just got to keep you laughing. Expect the unexpected. And you might be saying, well, you know, the Bible says go out. Why would I be sitting back? It says go out into all the world and preach the gospel. But as I said, he also says sometimes come apart with me into a quiet place. And if you want a scriptural analogy, Paul and all the crew in Acts, and they're out and they're on the move and they're taking cities and they're right, we're going to Asia, province of Asia, wherever it was. What did the Spirit do? Stop them. Said, don't go. This is how church splits happen, where half the church saying, well, the Bible says that we're to go into all the world, that's all the world, but the Spirit's saying, no, it's not for now, it's for later. That's why we've got to be in step with the Spirit. It's what we've got to know Him better. It's what we've got to be hearing and walking in step with the Spirit. Amen? And it's about, and again, I'm not there yet, but as Joyce Meyer says, I'm okay and I'm on my way. We've got to live out of presence and not principle. Sometimes we do live out of principle when the presence isn't there. Bill Johnson, Stole that from him, but it's so true. Paul lived out a presence. Jesus lived out a presence. And the principles will apply. Does that make sense? I need that to make sense. Hand up if it didn't make sense. Good. So again, if you've been... No, not again. If this process takes place and it can't be reversed, if you've ever been saved, you are saved. If you've ever truly been saved and transformed, you are saved and transformed. So for the few here that aren't sure, I'm telling you that's the truth. Now, I know you say, well, we can grieve the Holy Spirit again. That's another message for Kerry or Craig or someone a lot brighter than me. But on the face of it, if you're ever saved, you are saved. You're a new creation. If you ever had a gift or a call on your life, you still do. Amen? Yeah. Calling and gifts are irrevocable. It's like the preacher that was in jail, and I'm just about ready to finish, so breathe easy. Preacher got jailed in the States some years ago for some immoral things. I'm not sure what it was exactly, and the guy interviewed him, and he was telling a story that he was in the cell, and our worst nightmare, you know, in the cell with Bubba, the big black fella, big black guy, big African-American guy. And the big fella said to him one day, say, what did you used to do on the outside, boy? You can tell I've listened to a lot of American things. And the guy with his head in his hand said, I used to preach. I used to preach. And the big fella said, you know, God ain't got no use to be preachers. If you ever was one, you still is. And the guy said, man, did I ever need to hear that? Now, he'd fallen. He'd been marred. But God's telling him that... the calling and gifts are irrevocable. Now, it would have been a process to restore, but hopefully you get my point. If you ever were, you are. If you've been saved, you are. Greatest weapon of the enemy is to try and take out your salvation and the knowledge of that. You might be young in your gift. You might be feeling rejected, not heard. It's part of the process. What are you going to do about it? Are you going to collab with God? You might feel you're on the shelf. But we can't go into the kiln too early, amen? Because it'll explode. So all these processes God's using, and the enemy's in there, we know, and he's heating us up and he's doing stuff as well, but God's using it for your good. So the enemy might be heating you up, but God's using it for good because he's allowing the enemy, because he's dumb, pride, he's allowing the enemy to heat things up and he's using that. Make sense? But it's all for our own good. We're being eternally prepared. So I'll just say today, there's something else I believe God wants us to know. Stop giving the devil credit for what God's trying to do in your life. Stop trying to, everything that comes along, spiritual attack, spiritual attack, spiritual attack. There is, yes, spiritual attack. But not everything's a spiritual attack. Don't give the devil credit for everything that's going wrong in your life. Okay? Is that fair enough? That's why the church, we've got to be a healthy body, which was meant to be my message I wanted to preach, but... we've got to have discernment. We've got to have deliverance. We've got to have a healthy body that's operating in all the different facets of what needs to happen. But that's for another day. So I just want to pretty much finish on Ephesians 2:10. I think that's there somewhere. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good work, which God prepared in advance for us to do. God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. We've got to get in Christ Jesus. We've got to get in the vine. God does not make rubbish. So my heart and my prayer today is that in 2018, I and we, the church, would get to know him better. Because the only way, it's the only way. And the only way to get to know him better is to spend time with him. Spend time with his people. Acts 2:42, I love it. There should be a model of every church. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the breaking of bread, and to fellowship and to prayer. It's a pretty good church. Prayer, fellowship, all those things come together. And again, as part of the healthy body message, which isn't for today, but we're going to get to know each other a bit better, don't we? I know some of you, and I'm getting some of you to know better, so I'm starting to trust. That's what happens. You get to know people, you can trust them more. There's three or four people in this room I trust explicitly already in 12 months. And hopefully they pretty much know who they are. And I've shared some stuff that maybe I haven't shared with others, people already in this 12 months. It's getting to know people. It's not me being a hero. It's just a fact. You know that yourself. So I know some of you. And sometimes you sort of know people, but you don't know them. So some of you will come, hey, how you going, Bill or Fred? and that'll be about it. And sometimes you might know people, but you haven't had a conversation, and after 12 months, it gets awkward to go and say, oh, I'm Wayne, by the way, because you sort of know who they are. But we've got to push through that. We've got to come together as a healthy body. We've got to get it to know each other as well as knowing him. Now, I'm not quite sure how this is going to finish up just yet, but that's okay. I think we're okay. Do we do another song? Is that on the agenda, or can we, or not? I like that new song. And you said on Friday, I'm doing a new song, and it's called this. And I went and listened to it. I thought, man, I don't know how I'm going to work that in. But as it's playing, I'm working it in, because it's like, what was that? Actually, that's probably what I wrote down, to be honest. No, can't read it. But what's it say? You've done it again, or you did it before. I know you're going to do it again. That's knowing God. This person who's written this song knows that God's done this for him. And because he knows him, because he has faith in him, because he's had that experience, he knows that he will do it again. But if you haven't had that first experience, if you don't know God, you don't know what it can do. Amen? So maybe we just quietly have some music. But I just... you may not know him yet. And again, we might have been Christian 160 years. I don't think there's too many hundred-old Christians in here today, or been Christians 100 years. And it's a process. We're all in a process. We know him, we fall, we know him, we get closer. But you may not even know anything about him, or very little. You might be early in your walk. But you are that piece of clay, and he's trying to form you. And everything that's happened in your life, he's just trying to form it together to get you to this place. And maybe it's to this place here today, right now. I don't know. Oh, I'd love to think it was. But again, it's about his work, not about our work or what we're doing. It's about his work. And it might be healing. It might be anything. I mean, do you know him? Do you trust him for healing? So do we want to make it a New Year's resolution? And we hear a lot of New Year's resolution, and most of it's about eating. But again, with eating, co-labour. We know if we eat too much, we're not going to be healthy. I mean, hello? But we need help with that. And that's where the Spirit comes in. Now, even if it's sin. Romans 8, again, wonderful chapter, but it talks about putting the misdeeds of the body to death by the Spirit. You think, what's that mean? It's knowing him. It's being in step with the Spirit. And I know myself, my own sin life. I can look at something and be attracted to it. It might be alcohol. It might be drugs. It might be women. It could be anything. I'm not going to tell you. But as soon as I'm in the Spirit, I'm walking with the Spirit, all of a sudden I can look at the same thing and disgust me. I know you're all thinking, but you're wrong what you're thinking. It doesn't matter. That's by the Spirit, and that's with the community coming together, getting in step with the Spirit. So I think it'll be a good purpose for this year, for 2018, for us as a church and individuals to make a commitment today, maybe to know him better. Is that a fair call? And to spend time with him. And again, you may not have ever met Jesus. And you know why? Because you may not have never been introduced to Jesus. And how can you know anyone if you're not introduced? Have you been introduced to Jesus? And I hope through the message today, maybe you've got a glimpse of maybe who he is if you don't know him. Or if you're not sure, or you're just in that sort of early start of your relationship with him. But God created us to be with him eternally. He created us and he wants us to be with him eternally. Our sin separates us. Sin, Adam, the sin separated us from God. And these sins can't be atoned for by good deeds. You never do anything good enough to get to heaven. And that's what religion, confirmation to religion, tries to teach. That if you do this, jump this, roll over, have a biscuit, you'll get to heaven. It's a lie of the devil. You'll never get to heaven by your good works. They're like filthy rags. And we won't go into what the filthy rags actually were. Suffice to say they were filthy rags. It's not good people who go to heaven, it's believers that go to heaven. Jesus paid the price for your sin, for my sin, on that cross. He became our sin, the Bible says. A lot of people died on the cross, but not many people died as the sin of the world, became the sin of the world, yours and mine. And he rose again. They used to kill a lamb and the blood would cleanse the sin, or would cover the sin. But this lamb's blood cleanses it and gets rid of it forever, blots it out. Everyone who trusts in Jesus alone will have eternal life, the Bible says. If you believe with your heart and confess with your mouth, you will be saved. But you've got to know him. Because it says, not all that call on me will be saved. Lord, Lord. And he says, why do you call me Lord and don't do what I say? And it's not a matter of rules and regulation doing what he say. It's a matter of a heart thing, just doing. It just happens. Make sense? So life with Jesus starts now and lasts forever. We've started. If you're a Christian, you've started. You're in eternal life. We've made a start. And he's trying to prepare us for an eternity of worshipping him. So maybe the 14th of January 2018 is your day to repent. And that simply means to, you're going this direction. Repentance simply means to go this direction. It's a change of mind. So I'll just ask the question, is there anyone here today that would like to be introduced to Jesus or to meet and know Jesus better that doesn't know him already? Anyone? And I don't care, like I look like a fool up here, it doesn't matter, because I'm just asking the question. You might go home and this might happen for you at home, I don't know. I'm not going to get you to close your eyes and all that. I'm just asking the question. But if you want to get to know him better, if you want to get to know him, if you haven't been introduced to him, please. I guess the altar is going to be open if anyone wants to come. Is there any Christian people that want to come and just rededicate their life to Christ? I guess I'll call the elders and the leadership up if anyone wants prayer for healing, for anything. If anyone just wants a prayer that they would know him better, I'd ask you to come forward during the worship. And again, if you don't know Jesus, if you've never met him as your Lord and Saviour, today could be your day. And I direct you to Kerry and Craig and Chrissy at the front for that, please. And I'm happy to stand there. I'm happy to pray for people, but it's not about me. It's about him. And I haven't got there yet, but I'm on my way. And we get off track, but we get back on track. We've got to help each other and love each other enough to do that. Amen. All good? So I'll hand over the worship team. And again, just come forward. And if you've been a Christian 60 years, but you want to say, look, 2018, fresh commitment to know him better. Because Paul kept pushing on to know him better, forgetting what is behind. So if you want to push on to know him better, I'd invite you up the front during the worship, and I just ask the elders and the team just to come up and pray. Love you all. And be transformed in Jesus' name. Get that back up there. Bless you.
2 Corinthians chapter 5 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is gone and the new has come. Heavenly Father, we just meditate on those words and we just pray, Lord, the things that we have tried to create with our own hands in previous years, Lord, we throw them in the heap. And Lord, we claim your word that now that we are in Christ, that the new creation has come. And Lord, I pray, as Wayne's been preaching this morning, that we all look forward to 2018. Look forward to not what we can create, but what you can create through us. And Lord, I just pray for each and every one of us, Lord, that we have that you create a heart of forgiveness, a heart of letting go. Lord, give us eyes to see what you'd want us to do. Give us ears to hear what you'd love for us to hear. And Lord, we just pray, give us the boldness that we may speak with your mouth. Lord, you said that we'll do greater things. So, Lord, we just pray, Holy Spirit, now. We remind you of those of your word. And we pray 2018 that we will do greater things through your creation in us. And we thank you, Lord, that your hands are upon us as we journey through 2018 together as brothers and sisters in Christ. And we all said, amen. Amen. Well, thank you, Wayne, for a great word. And the elders here, if you need prayer, for healing or anything, please come forward. We'd love to pray for you. May God richly bless you. Coffee, those who are visiting, coffee and tea are out in the cafe. And have a great week. Amen.